Dumba, Jumden, De Jen, Jeba, Tajumba, Yanda, Ban, Zobe, Sange, Riba, Dan, Shabzo, Dem, Dewara, Jeba, Jigden, Jemba, Jebu, Debe, Kalu, Jorwa, Lana, Lada, Menamanje, Dumba, Sange, Jumden, De Penyawa, Jaja, Duba, Laja. Chudo yazo jeo dwa jom den den de jen jen ba ta jom ba yang dan ba nzo ben sa rik ba da yazo den ba de wala shen ba jek den jen ba je bo de kalo yur wa lana me ba lada me nam je tum ba san je jom den Shagya Duba La Jadze Lo Chodo Gyavso Jeho Dumba Jumden De Dijin Jajumba Yandaba Zobe Sanje Rikwa Da Shabso Denba Tewa Jigden Genba Jebo Duwe Kalo Yerwa Lana Meba Lada Men Dumba Sanje Jumden De Benjawa Shagya Duba La Jadze Lo Chodo Gyavso Jeho Chumden de dejen jaba da jomba yanda ba dobe sanje rikba da jat. Tewara sheba jikden jemba jemon duve kalo jirwa lana. Minam je domba sanje chumden de beja wa shaja duba la chat. Chudo jazo che ho. Gumbo jizun jambe yangla chanze lo Kangi lo zhu timnyi tinte nyenda namda rabze Chinyi tungun chishizi zhe nyeje duga lekbamze Ganda zebe zura mare mendomo donye gizebe Chozo gun la puje tarze yan la chuju yandeso. Jodara jado nyomu nyelo lege chato chuze je. Marime se tunye nyogo chini junze raje na. Tune daje saji tazu yendun lunzo yaze tuwe gu. Chuda chuda chunyi kende talu meze jambe yalandu Arabadzanade Omo Arabadzanade Omo Arabadzanade Omo Arabadzanade Omo Kera veze ge dalu timu mumba rabze Kada denju shunlu toba ye loju bobe nawa zedo su Juje medo tama rera linshi nyende kemba de sanje shindu mide buwa ye Chogun namda jindan chubara sho Tamba ke naman ke chugu kala kenze tinte ne Chedara zambe duja zema la savge shuge cha abdo se Menda laga ne yada ya me Tsoye cho nama la chanchu bado tani gyavso che Tage chwe che jive so nama ge Dola penche sanje dhubara sho Ye cho da tsoye cho nama la chanchu bado tani gyavso che Tage chwe che jive so nama ge Dola penche sanje dhubara sho Chidang Tsoye Chonamala Chanchu Bado Tane Gyavso Che Tage chuje jebe sonama je drola pe drubara jo. Lada lame me dame anje umbo da anja jen la so chuje jola chawan cheba nama sanje sumba rabdu shishin tere kyunchumba deda shenje tambi chunye chenye dejeje. Namo laye geda luda nujinge rubunda dami yege namdan Dhoa gwenge chanan chi zamba tamje ke du tagi chudun dos
Good morning. How come very shy is it? So let's begin with our sharing session. Anybody wants to start? Anyone? You're still on holiday mood, is it? Okay, so today we are going to do some practical things. Remember what we decided to do today? But I don't see any of you bringing your whole altar. Ah, there.
I brought some butterballs.
Okay. I was expecting all kinds of things.
The delivery truck will be here soon.
Yeah, that's why I keep looking out to see whether anything coming. Anyway, those who don't have water bowls, we have some plastic ones. This is mainly just to try, and I think it is good to have a table in front of you. Okay, so just to recap why we are doing this preparatory practices. This is like a foundation of a building. It is very crucial to have a very good foundation if you are planning to build few stories. So likewise, if we are going to aiming to achieve various stages of our attainments, we need to have a solid foundation. Without that, it is not possible. Lama Tsongkhapa very explicitly stated that the reason why we don't gain much development despite our practices, we do practice all the time. There are so many people who are doing practices, committing hours and hours, but those who have real realizations are very rare, very few. It is not because that they didn't put effort. It is not because that they have committed their time. It is because that not just practicing is not enough. You need something else. You need conditions. It's like a field. In order to have a good harvest, you need the seed. But on top of that, you need a fertile soil. You need to clear all that pebbles and all that weeds. And then you need to have the soil to be moist. And then, of course, you need sunlight and all that. Only when you have these things, then you can expect a good harvest. Otherwise, it's like trying a seed in the sand. no matter how good, how organic that seed is, nothing will sprout. So it is very important. Even Lama Tsongkhapa by himself, Lama Tsongkhapa has been doing meditation and all that. When it comes to the realization of emptiness, the final point, even though Lama Tsongkhapa has so much realizations, but he was stuck with one thing on the emptiness, especially the workings between the interdependent and the emptiness. Many people say, oh, I see emptiness, but they have difficulty understanding the two together. So Lama Tsongkhapa at this stage, so he still couldn't really achieve that realization. So Manjushri advised him to go and do this merit cultivation. So that's why Lama Tsongkhapa went to this place called Virka and did a lot of prostrations to purify negativities and also did a lot of mandala offerings. Then after doing that for a month or something, then one night, Lama Tsongkhapa has this dream that Buddha Palita, Sankhyajang we call it, appeared in his dream and then handed Lama Tsongkhapa the text that was composed by Buddha Palita himself. It's called also Buddha Palita, I think. And said that he dreamed of Buddha Palita giving him the text and telling him that you will be the owner, of this text. And then, Lama Tsongkhapa woke up with so much kind of bliss there, joy and bliss. And then he felt like reading. When he started going through that text, it's completely different. Lama Tsongkhapa read that text several times, or let's say many times, but realized came only after that purification, that practice. So we shouldn't take it lightly. Oh, this is a preparatory practice, you know. I want to do the actual one. So no, you can go ahead and try doing that, but nothing will happen. It is like trying to see things clearly on a frosted glass. No matter how many and how long you try to see things, there is this veil. You won't be able to do that. So we need to remove that veil, unveil that barrier. So that, in our practice, we do by purification. Then we also do by doing all these offerings to support our practice. I think you may have your own experiences when reading Dharma texts. It's always different. First time you read, you don't make much sense. Second time, third time, and then you do some prayers and all this, and then after a while you do, it's different. I had this, of course I have other experience. The recent one was, I was giving this long life initiation in that community hall, Tibetan community hall here. And I have given that initiation many times. There was this part, it talks about the story, the lineage story. It is to generate faith, how white Tara can really lengthen or strengthen our life, can really bestow longevity. I have related that story many times, but on that day, when I went through that, there was a different kind of understanding. And because of that, I was able to relate that in a different way, which I think people understood better. So there are these experiences. So these are a result of all our practices, especially this kind of when you are able to purify our negativities, And then we were able to cultivate, accumulate merits. Then it becomes easier. Remember, I have another picture image here. It's not that clear. When we don't have the merit to support that, it is like trying to stuff so many things in a very thin bag. It will not hold. You need to have a hearty bag, plastic bag, especially garbage bag. Then you can stuff a lot of things and it can hold. So that's why it is very, very important. So I am stressing this because many people have this view that, oh, this is not important. This is important. Actually, if you just do the six preparatory practices, it is quite good. Quite good. Actually, you don't, of course, you will eventually develop a realization, all that. But with that, all this will follow. But without that, no matter you go and try some, you know, those high-sounding esoteric practices or whatever, tantra, this tantra, that tantra, highest yoga, whatever, mudra, this thing. No. You will gain some kind of intellectual understanding, but not real realization. So for real realization to come, we need to really do this kind of practices. So that's why we are trying. And these practices, the six practices, I mean, especially the first few ones, are very simple. Nothing difficult. But it is very powerful. It is about the attitude. We vacuum our home all the time. We cut grass, we clean our surroundings, we do all that time. But but many of us don't know how to transform, how to convert or transform that into a practice. So this is all about it. Even when you are cleaning your room, cleaning whatever it is, you can still use it to purify your negativities. So the first one is cleaning the room and arranging the representations of Buddha's body. So how do we arrange that? Remember, we start with the first, with the statue, with the image, which is the representations of a representation of Buddha's body, holy body. And then we start with the text, if you have a text. That represents the Buddha's speech. And then Buddha's mind. So most of the Buddhist families on the altar, you will see these things. And there is a way to arrange it. So if you have a statue or image, it has to be in the center, and at Buddha's right is the speech, and to Buddha's left is the stupa. So this is how you arrange that. And if you have other texts, let's say if you have a shelf and you have a lot of texts, we normally put the text up there because Buddha's speech, or in terms of three refuge, the Dharma, we revere most because Dharma is the actual refuge. Dharma is like the medicine. Doctor can prescribe, but it is the medicine that really cures. So likewise, Dharma is the real refuge. Buddha is like the doctor. Buddha diagnosed us with our ailment or whatever sickness we are having. And then he prescribes these medicines and treatments. And when we do that, when we take those pills, that's when we are healed. So that's how we set up our altar. And then, of course, if you have protectors, then normally we won't put it at the same level. Normally we try to put it at the lower. But of course, if your altar is only one level, then you try to raise or elevate the Buddhas and all that, and then you put the other, like, protector images below that, on a lower shelf or lower level. And now, the offerings. So there are so many things we can offer to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. But other things like flowers, like all these cakes, biscuits, juices, whatever, we can make all these offerings, that's very good. But it all costs money. Some of these offerings are expensive. So if we are to offer that on a daily basis, many people cannot afford that. And even those who afford that, there is a danger of having this, what you call the miserliness, the stinginess. So it kind of dilutes the offering. It stains, contaminates your offering. So for that reason, we do water bowl offerings. Water is, those days, it's free. Nowadays, you have to pay. But still, it's very cheap compared to other offerings. And then when you offer water, no way you feel stingy about water. That becomes pure. So that's why we do this water offering. When Lama Adisha came to Tibet, Tibet's water is known to be very clean and it is very beneficial to consume and all that. Lama Adisha said, you Tibetans, you don't need to do other practices. You can just do waterfall offerings. That is good enough. So this shows that it is really a powerful way to cultivate merit. So that's why we are trying to do that. So let's start. So let's imagine that we have already set up our altars. Now we are setting up the offerings. So we start with water bowls. Yes, please, thank you. So before you do, you have to finish that. You have to drink that first. Water bowls. So first what you do is you hold the stack thing in one hand and pour a little bit there. And then, okay. The idea is not to set the bowls empty. So when you pour the water first, you have to recite this Om Ahum. So Om Ahum, and then every time you do pour in the new one, always recite Om Ahum, Om Ahum. And the gaps, first of all, it needs to be straight line. And then the gaps, not too much of a gap, and also not too close. I think Ken, yours one is too close. So you need to leave a gap of a grain, let's say barley grain or rice or barley grain. Just a rice grain putting horizontal. Everybody got that? So when you pour, you always say Om Ahum, Om Ahum. That is to bless, as well as if there are any spirit harms. Let's not go there. So once you have finished setting those water bowls, now you can fill that up. So when you pour in, it is said Nenduma, where the seeds, barley or wheat, the seeds, you know, seeds normally the tip, two ends are always narrowed, and in the middle it is thick. So first you start with a small and then increase, and then at the end you narrow it down. And when you offer, you have to offer with respect, as if you are serving a king or some important person. So if you have a very important visitor, you would serve with respect. Yes? Oh, so normally this is right, yeah? So we start from here. Start here, then goes this right. Go here. So it is right to, is it right? Left to right, yeah, left to right. And then once you have done that, and you can, if you know how to recite what is called the offering mandala, offering mantra, the multiplying mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So that one, 3 or 7 times. So that you are not only blessing that offering, you are also multiplying. Even though you have only 7 sets, so reciting this, you are multiplying that into thousands. Mm. So that's it. That's the water bowl offering. You look so stunned. How come? Okay. So after that, then yeah, you can do your normal. So in my case, so I normally offer the water bowl, and then I light a light offering, and then I also offer light incense and make offerings, and then you can sit down and do your prayer, whatever you do. Seven limb we will cover later, seven limb, but whatever normal, the daily prayer that you do. So it always starts with this. You make the offering, then sit down, and then begins. So in our case, next one is so once you have done that, then the third one is adopting. So at the moment we have only water bowls. So you can offer anything you want to offer. You can buy flowers, make offerings. You can offer incense. You can offer lights, and you can offer biscuits or cakes or whatever. All whatever is not poisonous, you can offer. Mm. Then once you have set up your altar, then now we are going to begin the meditation, the actual practice. So you have to sit down, and then you have to adopt this seven-featured sitting posture. Remember the seven? The first is your leg. If you can, the best position is Vajra posture or the lotus posture. If not, you can sit whichever is comfortable for you. And then straighten your back, spine should be upright, and then head slightly bent forward. You have straightened your back, but then you bring your head down a bit. And then the hand. You can choose to have the meditation gesture, or you can just rest your hands on your knees. It's up to you, whichever is comfortable for you. Shoulders should be level. And then let mouth teeth rest naturally. Tip of the tongue should rest gently on the upper palate. So this is to avoid drooling and also thirst. When you do long periods of time, sometimes you feel thirsty. So this is supposed to help. And then eyes should be almost closed, but open just a little and looking downward. So you should be gazing your eyes on the tip of your nose. So there are two approaches. Some say that if you are a beginner and you find it more comfortable to close your eyes, you can do that. Or if you find it more comfortable to keep your eyes open, that's also okay. But in the text, you will see they're always half open. And some people, closing eyes can bring or stir memories. So whichever suits, you can do whichever suits you. And then we talked about the breathing, counting one's breath. So that is to bring our minds to the neutral state. So if your mind is agitated, if you are in an angry mood, no way you can meditate. Your mind will be all over the place. You will be thinking and remembering all kinds of things. So we need to bring, so the main goal is to bring your mind to a virtuous one. But you cannot do that if it is first in the neutral state. So, of course, let's say if you are angry and all that, there are other ways, there are other antidotes, such as meditating on compassion and love. But for beginners, especially when you are in that kind of state of mind, when you are really agitated, it is very hard to meditate on love and compassion. So the easiest and most effective way is to count your breath. Because as an ordinary person, our minds don't have the capability to focus on two things at one time. So if you are able to direct your focus of your mind on your breath, you will automatically forget the other thing. So then, yeah, you can count, so breathe in and out and count as one, and then you can do that 7 times, 14 times, 21 times, as long as it takes to neutralize your mind. So once your mind is back to neutral, then generating the taking refuge. Refuge, then generating bodhicitta mind, and then also reciting the 4 immeasurables. So refuge we have covered, that in our last, let's call it semester. But we can do a bit of recap. So remember, this is the visualization. But in order to do the refuge, we need to generate or visualize the refuge field. So there are two types, refuge field and merit field. So in Lamrim text, sometimes they combine the two. Sometimes they teach separately. So refuge field is refuge field, and then merit field, you have more things in the visualization. So here we are doing the refuge. So we have to generate the refuge field. So it begins with the Buddha in the center. So it is Buddha Shakyamuni, you know, with the first, of course, if you want to go into detail, you can first visualize a huge spacious throne, which is supported by what is called the eight lions, two lions on each side, and then on that, then you generate Shakyamuni Buddha. So Shakyamuni Buddha, in reality, it is your root guru, but in the form of Shakyamuni Buddha. So the question is, if you have many gurus, who should I take as my guru in this one? So it is said that if this is a Lamri meditation, if you are meditating on the stages of the path, so that in that case, you should consider the Lama or Guru whom you have received the teachings on Lamrim, whom you have received the Lamrim teachings. And then let's say if you have received Lamrim teachings from several gurus, in that case, you can choose the one that you find it most beneficial, most helpful, whom you find have the strongest affinity, and whom you have gained so much realization through their teachings. So there is always affinity. Even though you have received the same teaching, but you feel that you have, you can understand easily, you have gained insights. So that whichever you find most beneficial to you. So you can take that as your root guru. And then around the Buddha, you visualize other Buddhas. And then around that, Bodhisattvas and Arhats. And around that, then you can include Dhaka, Dakini, and then also protectors. So, and then in front of each of them, so you visualize this text. But in reality, that is their realization. But their realization in the form of text. So each in front of them, they have this realization in the form of scripture. So that's your refuge field. You have now generated or visualized. So now how should we begin the refuge practice? How should we go about it? So the first thing is you need to generate this, the two causes. Remember, the first cause is the fear. So you may wonder, why do we need to incite this fear? It is because that we will only take refuge when we need help. In conventional terms, conventional sense also, we go and ask for help when we really are in need of help, when we are having some difficulty. So likewise, we have to contemplate on our situation. And we have talked about it last week, that from the Buddhist perspective, this is not our first life. We have taken countless lives. But then look at us. Every time we are born, we tried our best to achieve this permanent or lasting happiness. We have worked so hard finding this everlasting peace or nirvana, to be free from suffering. But we are back to where we started. We were unsuccessful. Either we didn't do, or we engage in the wrong approaches. So that's why this is our situation now, still suffering. So this time we were lucky. There are reasons that, you know, we can feel fortunate about. First of all, we are born human. We could have born as animals. In that case, you don't have the wisdom to discern what is right or wrong most of the time. And also, there's no way you can understand Dharma. You cannot even understand the common instructions. But here we are, especially those of you who are born in America, in terms of external facility, so much way better than other places. You have all the external facilities, not only external facilities, internal conditions as well. You have met Dhamma. Imagine from 7 billion, out of 7 billion people, how many have met Buddha Dhamma? That is something to be happy about. And then Dhamma, there are, even if you just met Dhamma and if you don't have any, if you have not met teachers, but you have met so many qualified teachers who are willing to teach you, who are willing to guide you. So, and then most importantly, we have this wisdom to discern what is right and what is wrong, what is to be abandoned and what is to be cultivated. And we have this human brain which has unlimited capacities. So it is saying that at this stage, we must try to, what do you call that, sever this cycle. Instead of cycling and cycling, we must try to escape from this cyclic existence. And at the moment, we don't know how to get out of this. We need to look for someone who has done it. Not only the person has done it, who has the skills and means to guide us. And then also someone who is not biased and prejudiced, no matter whether the person is your friends or enemies, like Buddha. There is no discrimination. Whether you whether we have done a favor or not. Buddha is always willing to help us. So we need to seek a refuge in someone who has all that quality. So that is Buddha. But of course, Buddha is Buddha just as a teacher, but actual refuge is through practicing the Buddha's teachings. So that's why refuge is very important. So that's why in Lamrim you see first started with this and then refuge and then goes to karma. Because when we take refuge, it is the Buddhist way of taking refuge. The difference, let's say, the difference between the Buddhist refuge and other tradition refuge is that we don't leave it there. I go for refuge, please help me, liberate me, bring me there. We don't leave it there. Buddha has said that, you know, there's no way I can just liberate you. Buddha would have done that because the sole goal, sole purpose of Buddha working towards enlightenment is to liberate us. But Buddha cannot do that. Buddha can only show us the path, and we need to practice. It's like doctors. Doctor can only diagnose the best medicine, best treatment, but we need to take the pills. So that's the difference. We need to practice. So that's why many people are, what do you call, kind of, what is the term now? The driven, let's say, or what is that word, that term? Deterred, let's say, by Buddhism, because it's always talk about you must do it, you must take action, you must take responsibility. People don't like that. They find so much peace and relief just, okay, handing other person the responsibility. I will take refuge in you, so you take the responsibility, so that I don't have to do it. But here we are not saying that you have to do it, we have to do it. It is your fault. If you are having a problem, it is your fault. So, anyway, coming back to the point, so we need not only Buddha, we also need Dharma, we also need Sangha. Sangha is to inspire us, to encourage us, to give encouragement in our spiritual journey. These are those who have these realizations. When we see them like Arya beings, then we get inspired. Oh, well, this is true. What Buddha said is, because they practice and they have achieved, they have arrived there. Oh, there is, you know, something called that you can achieve nirvana, you can achieve enlightenment. So when we see others achieve realizations, that's when we get encouraged. If you look at all the people and there's no realization at all, then yeah, you wonder whether it is really true or not, whether what I'm doing is, you know, whether I will get anywhere. But when you see this Sangha, you get inspired, you get encouraged. Yes, there is. They were also like me before. But because they followed Buddha's advice closely and put the advices into practice, so now they have arrived at that level. So I too will arrive at that level if I do my practices. So that's why you need these three refuge. So what kind of quality your refuge become is dependent, is contingent on the quality of these two causes. The first is you really contemplate, reflect on the sufferings of samsara in general, and then the sufferings of three lower realms in particular. So when you think of that, so there is like, oh, what will happen if I die tomorrow? We have no control over our life. Death can come anytime. You cannot argue, you cannot justify that, you know, because I am young. Doesn't mean that young people will not die. You cannot say that, oh, I'm healthy now, I will not die. But there are so many cases, very fit and well and active today, and then we hear that next day. Look at the recent shootings. El Paso. Paso, is it? El Paso. Mm. How many people died? Over 20, isn't it? 30 or 20?
20.
20 people. They never thought that they will die. They must have made all these plans. So imagine if you die now. Do you have this sense of what you call confidence that you will be able to achieve good rebirth? Do you have guarantee that, you know, you will not be born as animal? Let's not talk about hell and all that. Let's say in a animal born in slaughterhouse, do we have the guarantee? We don't have. But we still have time. So in order to, you know, have that confidence, we must practice, we must go to refuge. And then when this kind of, yeah, I don't like to use the fear, that is the actual word, but this kind of fear is realistic fear. Many of the fears, many of those fears are not really realistic, but this is realistic. The uncertainty is real. And then, of course, from Buddhist perspective, when you die, you cannot choose your birth. It has to follow your karma. So I mentioned this before from our own observation. When we see that whether we have more negative karmas or positive karma, we can kind of guess. Most of the time, we are under these three afflictions, poisonous afflictions. Either we are ignorant, most of the time we are ignorant. Ignorant is always there. And then, because of ignorance, we are, what do you call it? Because of ignorance, it triggers attachment or aversion or hatred. So these three are all the time working there. But love, compassion, generosity, faith, kindness, very hard. Even in your life, when you just kind of try to write down and count how many instances of kindness, how many instances of attachment, all these negative will outweigh the number of positive things that we have. From that one, even when we are doing prayers, we are sitting down to do prayers, what kind of quality is our practice? I mentioned this before. When we start with one round of mala, first of all, most of the time, we miss the proper motivation. Best motivation is this bodhicitta mindset. How often do we start our prayer with this bodhicitta mind? Very rarely. Then the next one is this renunciation, the attitude or the motivation to achieve nirvana. How many times our practices are motivated by that? But most of the time, it is motivated by worldly concerns. To have good life, to have long life, to remove obstacles, all that. So first of all, the motivation part is not proper. And then while doing the actual one, when we start one round of mala, we will start with Om Mani Padme Hum. Let's say we are going to recite one round mala of Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. When you are 10, 15, your mind is somewhere else. Even though you are reciting Om Mani Padme Hum, your mind is already somewhere else, already in negative mindset. Must be thinking about this person, you know, someone who you don't like, someone whom you have difficulty with, and maybe thinking about what that person said and did to you. And maybe already planning some revenge or how to get back to that person, to get even. So that's the actual part. There's no quality. And then normally at the end of the prayers, whatever practice you do, we need to do dedication. How often we do that? If we don't do dedication, our marriage gets destroyed by anger. We get angry all the time. That instant will destroy the marriage that we have cultivated in eons. So when you look at all this, if you take into account all that thing, it is very obvious that our negative or the non-virtue outweighs our virtue. So we can actually infer that we are going down. So when you think of that, it should kind of trigger kind of fear. Wow, what will happen? I should do. And then when you think of who can help me in this situation, then you see that three jewels is the refuge. And they can help us. Then that's the faith. That's the belief that, you know, they can help. So with that mind, then we go for refuge. I go for refuge to Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. I have mentioned before, but just to recap. So now that you have all this refuge field, so when you recite, so you can recite in English, I go for, is it? I go for refuge.
Until I'm enlightened.
No, the four, the one line. I go for refuge to Buddha, I go for refuge to Dhamma, Sangha. So you can do that. Normally we have this four line. I go for refuge to Guru, I go for refuge to Buddha, I go for refuge to Dhamma, Sangha. So there are visualizations involved. So these visualizations are very powerful. When you recite together with the visualization, then it becomes very powerful. So you can often do all four at one time. Let's say, Lama La Kyab Su Cho, I go for refuge to Guru, I go for refuge to, and then repeat. Or you can choose to do one at a time. So you do one round of mala. The first one, I go to refuge to Guru, I go to refuge to Guru, I go for refuge to Guru, I go for refuge. Tibetan version is here. Lama la kyab su chao, sanje la kyab su chao, cho la kyab su chao, gindun la kyab su chao. So you chant that. When you are chanting that, while you are chanting that, you can do specific visualizations. When you do the first one, Lama la kyab su chao, so you imagine rays of light or even nectars, rays of light emitting from the gurus. So you can also include the first surrounding of Buddha, you can include other lamas if you have your gurus. So you include all your gurus in there. And then when you recite the first one, Lama la kyab su cho, or I go for refuge to guru, So from the Buddha, Buddha itself is, remember, we have imagined that as the actually a root guru. So from Buddha and the surrounding gurus, rays of light emit from them, and then it dissolves into your crown and then fills up your whole body and purifies all the negativities in general, and specifically the negativities in relation to your guru. So such as we normally say that harming, causing physical harm to your lama, or lack of respect, showing respect to your lama, and then not following your guru's advice, and then causing upsetting your guru. So we of course it's not intentional, most of the time ignorantly. We commit all this all the time. If you have not taken someone as your guru, then it's okay. But if you have already taken somebody as your guru, then you have to be very careful. All these are, your guru is actually the vessel of all that blessing. And also if you're not careful, also it can be very dangerous. Disrespecting is even the way you address your guru. When Kedubje, the two disciples of Lama Tsongkhapa, Kedubje was not Lama Tsongkhapa's student before. Kedubje was from Sakya tradition. So Kedubje has heard so much about Lama Tsongkhapa. So one day, he came to visit Ganden, where Lama Tsongkhapa was residing at that time. So when we arrived at the Ganden Monastery, so there was a monk there, and Kedubje asked Lama Tsongkhapa, asked this monk, where is Lama Tsongkhapa? And this monk, wait here. He rushed into the room, brought out the incense, lighted the incense, and then said, my lama lives there. Instead of pointing, he uses the incense to point where your lama is. That's the level of respect they offer. Just that gesture, Kedubje already decided that this is the lama. Because from the student's gesture, he can tell that Lama Tsongkhapa is a great being. So that's why I don't know, when I first traveled to Malaysia, I didn't know who Lama Tsongkhapa Rinpoche is. And then when I stayed at Hui's center there, and then when I saw people there, first, my first experience was they were doing Lama Tsongkhapa. Every 10th and 25th, I think they do Lama Tsongkhapa prayer. And I was so amazed. All lay people, all foreigners, but they are chanting in Tibetan with tunes. And then people are always very careful. I have met people who are willing to change their livelihood, even though it is really a good source of income, but because it does not, does not go well with their Dharma, they are willing to change their livelihood. After seeing that, I was able to generate so much respect to Lama Tsongkhapa Rinpoche. So that's the way. So anyway, yeah. So that's how you accord respect to your teacher. And His Holiness' name is Tenzin Gyatso. But we never address Tenzin Gyatso. So in events and all this, to address His Holiness is a long name. Do you know what is the long name? His Holiness' name. Larje Sishi Tsujian Gongsan Lami Namdun Kemgun Gyewe Ombo Tamji Kenji Sikwa Chibwa Shizun Jambi Ngawang Losan Yishi Tinzin Gyazo Sison Wanju Tsungwa Mebe Tepe Sambo. That's the name. So one time in Malaysia, I have this friend. So I said, oh, do you know His Holiness' name? The long name. He said, no, no, no. So he was getting ready. So he, wait, wait, wait. He took a piece of paper and was... So when I said, he was like that. So this is how you address your teacher. You don't call your teacher by first name. If it's a Geshe, you should call Geshe or my teacher. Geshe something, something. If it's Rinpoche, if you don't want to address other honorific terms, but at least say Rinpoche, or with the first name and the second name. Maybe yeah, it is a different culture, but that's how you address your teacher name. You can always add this prefix, venerable or whatever. Just simply using the first name. So these are important. I'm not saying you shouldn't call me. I'm not your teacher yet, your guru yet. All this guru, if you have taken initiation, then yeah, you have no choice. So when you take initiation and all, you have to be very careful who you are taking initiation from. Once you have taken initiation, that becomes your guru. So that's why in Lamrim, it says you have to test and examine your guru for a long time until you make the decision. Because it's very risky. Once you decided, that's it. You have to follow, because when you follow, there is benefit, a lot of benefits. But if you don't follow, there is repercussion. There are consequences. So that's why, very careful. In this kind of talk, I told you there are two approaches. One very conservative view is that if you have heard at least one stanza of teaching, then you have to take that person as your teacher, your guru. But the liberal view is that you can decide. You can come to class, you can sit down, listen to all this, but you can decide. I'm not going to take him as teacher yet, but I will still go and listen to him. And then after examining the person for some time, and if you feel or if you are confident enough that, oh, that is the right person, I'm ready to take that person as, then you can either take it or you can make a formal request to be your teacher. It doesn't mean that teacher will accept you. Teacher also want to inspect you, want to examine you. Yeah, so that is the practice. Anyway, so when we do Lama Lajab Sucheo, that's the visualization. When we do Sangye Lajab Sucheo, I go for refuge in Buddha. To Buddha or in Buddha?
To.
I go for refuge to...
In Buddha.
To Buddha.
Both.
Okay. Yeah, so I go for refuge to Buddha. So when you do that, visualize the rays or nectars of light coming from the Buddhas, all that Buddha, not just Shakyamuni Buddha, you have visualized other Buddhas. So all this coming from Buddha, and then purify all the negativities, and especially and the negativities in relation to Buddha. That's also disrespecting Buddha, treating holy images as property. That happens often. If you have a silver statue, wow, this is precious. When you have a clay statue, oh, this is not so much. So that's, you only value that as a property. You don't have this reverence. You don't view that as Buddha. So these are the transgression of refuge. So whatever all that, so that comes out from the pores of our body in the form of soot or something dark, then the best visualization is when you soap yourself, especially when you are soiled. You know, you there's a mud there and you jump in there, so you're all soiled and dirty now. And then when you sit under shower, the way, you know, all that dirt comes out. So you can imagine that all that negativities that you have created in many lifetimes as well as this lifetime, all that cleanse. And then after that cleaning, you can imagine that now your body, whole body, is like a cleaned glass of water, a glass bottle. When glass bottle is rinsed, it becomes very clean. So you imagine that you have become like this. And then the next round, you imagine another, this time you can imagine a yellow color of rays and nectars, and then fills your body. This time it is the blessing. It is the quality of Buddhas. So you imagine that you have received that. And then when you come to the third one, Chola Japsu Chau, remember you have visualized the scripture in front, so rays of light comes from that, and then also the same way, cleanse all the negativities, and then received all the blessings of Dharma. And then when you do the final one, I go to refuge to Sangha, those Bodhisattvas and Arhats, from their rays of light, all that comes, and then cleanse away. And then you receive the blessings. So that's how you practice the refuge. I can see, Ken. Yes, it is. Okay, let's stop here. Yeah. When you clear your this water bowls, you start from the other side of, you know. Yeah. From the right to, I don't know which way, but it's the other side, reverse, yes. So normally what we do is, we have a cloth and we wipe it. So when you are wiping, you can also do the visualization that all your negativities, you are clearing the negativities. You can do that. That's also part of your practice. Mm. Yeah, many people get mistaken emptiness as nothingness.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so I have to excuse my ignorance, so you help me out here. I will give you as much information as I can. There's a story that almost completely escapes me in terms of, I know it involves a monk or lama who is on retreat for a long, long time because he's hoping to see Manjushri, and he failing, and then he one day finds a dog that's covered with maggots and so on, and he cleans them off, and he realizes it's Manjushri.
Mm.
So who's the
Asanga? Okay. Asanga trying to see Maitreya.
So the part of trying to. What recall relative to this?
Yes. He, you are right.
Decides to
good point.
Make offerings and so on, and Manjushri has to reprimand him some because he makes the first offerings to him instead of his guru.
Sorry.
In other words, he mistakenly is so excited about this, he makes his first offerings to Manjushri. And Manjushri says, no,
you are
first offerings to you.
Maitreya.
Maitreya. You are talking about the same story.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not familiar with that part,
okay.
But I think that actually is good. You brought this also goes towards supporting the importance of accumulation of merits. For 12 years, he has been doing practices to be able to see Maitreya, but every time he fails. And eventually, the final time, so he came out and then he saw this dock filled with maggot. So at that time, so of course these are generally compassion, great beings. So if he were to, he wanted to say both. If he were to do with the, take away the maggots with hands, the maggots would die. If he were to leave the dog would die. So eventually, out of compassion, he cut a piece of his own flesh, and then that's how. No, actually, yeah. Use the tongue, yeah.
Yes.
Use the lick the maggots off that. So that instantly, that maggot-ridden dog turned into Maitreya. So his first argument is, how come I have practiced, you know, I have tried to see you for all these 12 years and you never showed up? So Maitreya said that I was there all along, but you couldn't see me. And this act, it is really a compassionate act that, what you call, purified all that defilement. That's why you're able to see me. If you don't believe me, he said that you carry me on your shoulder and go around the street and tell people that you have Maitreya here and see what people, whether people can see or not. And when he did that, only one elder, very old lady, saw his leg or something. That's all. The rest of the people thought that he was crazy. So this actually goes to support what I was trying to explain before. That, you know, once we have the merit, then everything becomes easy. You just read one, you gain insight. Yeah. Otherwise, you read 100 times, same, you will never. Good, thank you for bringing that up.
Because your mind has to be changed.
Yeah.
It's
like there's always something there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So once you remove that, then you see clearer.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it is like this. So you have this unclean glass there. Actually, it's inside, and you are trying from the outside, you know, with the wet cloths, and you're trying to wipe it off. It won't. It is in there. Okay. So we don't have much time, so any questions? If not, we will stop here.
Should we say the short mandala offering and then the dedication prayers?
That, is that your question?
No, I'm just assuming that it's your question.
I'm just kidding. So no questions, then yeah, you can start. Me do dhamma rira lenje nyende jamba de sanje shinda mikde bhuwa ye Tugu namda shinga chubara sho Rana mandala gana yadaya me Rinpoche maje panama je gyuru che Keva nyamba meba ye Kondo bewara sho Kuzi rabden jen Tili chujuru yebada Loza denbe dhume sasum jen Dove muse tat ne gyoro che Shingam zang pendang dewa malu jungwe ne Chenre sewan tenzin gyazo yi Shabe Siddhe Bhado Tengyoro Che
chedara jemba tang kundu zambu teyang de jen teda gwenje jesu talo je jawa deda tam rabdo ngu jawa tam je je ngowa akala chodo ngawa dage kewe tsawa de gwenja sambu chuchi rab ngowa je